Hi, everyone. I wanted to personally thank you so much for listening to this podcast. There are a million podcasts out there, and I feel like everybody on the internet has a podcast at this point. But thank you for joining this one. I think we have a real opportunity to make an awesome, tight-knit community that loves the Bible and talks about it and works through scripture together as the body should. And as a thank you, our first three episodes are going to be completely free. All full-length video podcasts will be on Patreon. You'll get all the clips, all the best moments from the podcast on YouTube, but our full-length experience will be on Patreon. We're excited about what this podcast is going to turn into. If you enjoy what you see today, feel free to follow us on all of our platforms. We would love to have you. But right now, we're just grateful that you're giving us a try. We hope you love this conversation, and we're excited to see where Sword Drills takes us. God bless you all. Enjoy the show. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Sword Jewels, the show where we take a deep dive into the fundamental pillars of faith and venture into the fringes of theological thought. I'm your host, Caleb Schreiber.
And I'm Zach Kering. It's funny that that's the thing that you stumbled on.
This time. Not on the very wordy intro. It's just my name, Schreiber.
It's a difficult name.
It is. Today, we're really excited for today's episode. This is, I don't know, episode three.
Three, I think.
This is episode three. That's great.
Yeah.
We have three of them. Once we get to eight episodes, then we are officially good in standing because most podcasts don't get to eight episodes. So
good to know.
Hopefully we'll be here longer than that. On today's episode, we're going to discuss, should Christians observe Sabbath? And in order to do that, we're going to start it off with a debate. Sometimes we will debate, sometimes we may not. But today we're going to flip a coin. Whoever wins the flip of the coin gets to decide who's going to take either the affirmative or the negative side of the debate. Okay, Zach, do you want heads or tails?
I'll do heads.
Heads? It's heads! What side do you want to take?
Dang. I guess I'll take four.
You'll take four, that Christians should observe Sabbath.
Christians should observe Sabbath.
Okay, absolutely.
And as always, when we do these debates, these are not necessarily representative of our actual opinions. Mm-hmm. We're just doing this for fun.
Yes. You have 60 seconds on the clock and go.
The Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. It says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. God established the idea of the Sabbath before the law was even given. He established that creation when he rested on the seventh day. Isaiah says, if you observe the Sabbath, God will cause you to ride in high places. God made the Sabbath for man. It's beneficial to us. In the KJV, the Sabbath is mentioned 172 times. That's a significant number. And another significant number is the 85 instances in the New Testament where the disciples attend a Sabbath gathering, including when Jesus is attending himself.
Wow, you did that under time. Wow. Good job. I think you have 10 seconds left or so.
Enough said.
So I'm going to be arguing that we shouldn't, not that I necessarily believe that. We'll get into more of that in a few later. But my time starts to now. As far as your first point, in the Ten Commandments, it does say that they should celebrate the Sabbath. However, whenever Jesus in his ministry is reiterating the laws that we should follow, he recites all of them and brings them back into the fold, but he does not say the Sabbath. Actually, he says that he came not to abolish the Sabbath, but to fulfill it. A fulfillment of a thing means that something is done. It's complete. So if something is complete, why would we continue to rehash it, to redo it, to bring it back and to rely on a system that Jesus came to do away with?
You have time left?
Yeah. I have more time left, but I'm just going to stop there. So
do you want to do a second round to counterpoint the counterpoint, or
I think think just the minute is good.
I think going forward, this is not in the podcast. I think going forward, we should have a second round. I think we should both have opening statements in the first round and then a counterpoint in the second round.
Okay.
Because that's a lot easier. Because you said things that I could, you know, attack right now.
Yeah.
If I wanted to.
Oh, I know.
Well, the main thing that you said that I could attack is that you said that Christ said that he came not to abolish the Sabbath, but to fulfill it.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't say that. He said, I came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it.
Okay.
And that's an important differentiation.
That's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So not to say I disagree with your point.
Yeah. Well, the whole point of us doing this is not necessarily to disagree with each other to see who's better at debating. Like I've said before, it's more just to lightly show that we're attempting to give a case for both sides, give mm-hmm. a voice for both sides.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Zach, just as a lighter question, before we dive into what the Bible says about the Sabbath and should Christians observe it, I had a question for you. Have you ever been around a Jewish Sabbath?
I have not. I have not actually attended or observed an actual Jewish Sabbath, which I think gives away my actual position on the point.
Yeah.
But no. Have you?
I have not. No, I've been a part of a Passover meal, like the full Passover, not just like a Seder, like a, because a lot of Christians do Seder, which is like, we'll show you what the Passover emblems do, but like it's not the full thing. Like,
what's Seder? My understanding of Seder is a Greek goat man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know the origins of the word. That's just what people have called it. There's like a Jewish ministry. There's like, there are Christians, they're believing Christians who minister to Jewish people. And, they put on Seders frequently, Seder meals, where they just walk us through like some of the representation of like what some of the elements mean. However, like, and he'll touch on like some of like the songs and stuff that they do like during Passover, but neither here nor there. I have not also been a part of a Sabbath, but, do you have any idea what happens on a Jewish Sabbath? It's okay if you butcher it.
I have some idea of what happens in modern Jewish Sabbath.
Yeah.
Not a clear idea, because I've seen a couple different descriptions. I think, to my understanding, from Friday evening, about 20 minutes before sunset, they stopped doing all work, which means that they would have had to cook meals beforehand. They would have had to, you know, in the times when you gathered water, you'd have to gather water beforehand and everything like that. And then until Saturday evening, about the same time, it's just a day of rest. They don't really do anything, but they do attend synagogue, mm-hmm. to my understanding,
most
and
of them.
Hear teaching for those who are actively practicing. Mm-hmm. And also, there's certain prayers and liturgies that they repeat. Some of them are psalms. Some of them come from Talmud or other Jewish texts. Mm-hmm. I believe there's a Kabbalist, I don't know if that's how you say it, Kabbalist verse that you have to say. But that's my understanding. And then there's like a Passover Sabbath meal.
Yes.
That was pre-prepared and then is...
lots of bread.
Is it?
Yeah.
Lots of bread?
Yeah.
Leavened or unleavened?
Leaven.
And then, yeah, that's my understanding. I think there's definitely more to it. And there's a lot of like different traditions that have been passed down and rabbinic ideas that have been... you know, used in more modern times.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of modern. And here's the thing about it in my research of, I just got really curious as to like what people did on Sabbath. What Jews in modern day will do on the Sabbath varies from rabbi to rabbi. It depends. Most of them are pretty, they agree on like, you can't drive is a big one.
Oh, okay.
So fire is a big thing. So you can't do anything that was done in the temple. Okay. So like, that was done as like an act of work in the temple. So lighting a fire, you can't light fires. So that's one of the reasons why you can't cook. That's why you can't drive, is because they believe like whenever you start your engine, like there's a fire happening. So like you just, that's why they can't, at least one of the rabbis was saying that.
What about electric cars? We're probably the wrong people to answer that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I don't have that answer. But a lot of it is just whatever their definition of work is. Like on their Sabbath, they just stop work. So however your rabbi defines work and the confines in which he puts that in, that's what that specific Jew does. Seems like there's a lot of time spent with the family, a lot of eating, a lot of songs, a lot of time with God. There's a guy who gave 3 points. He said Sabbath is for three things for the Jew. One, it's to stop. Two, it's to rest with, like, you know, rest from your work, rest with your family, like get restored. And three, it's for God, obviously. Just in celebration of who he is, just spending time with him, not necessarily like, you know, yeah, just spending time with him. So, that's what I found. And I thought all of that was interesting. I think I would really like to observe a Sabbath someday with somebody.
Yeah. I think if I were to ever go to Israel, then I would definitely want to observe a Sabbath with someone and like see what it's really like. So we're not really sure when this, what's going to be going on in the world when this episode drops, because we're shooting this a good deal beforehand, but we're aware of a current conflict in Israel between Israel and Hamas. And just as we've stated before on our Instagram and through our reels, we do pray for Israel and stand with them and knowing that they are God's chosen nation. And we're also praying for Palestine and Hamas and everyone. But that being put aside, what we're talking about today is the historical Judaism and whether that still applies to Christians today. Mm-hmm. And we have a passage for that we want to look into, right?
Yeah. We're going to spend the majority of this episode. There's many places in the Bible that talk about Sabbath, and we're going to get into a lot of those. But we're going to start with our main passage coming from Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. This show is called Sword Drills, so we're going to do a sword drill. Sword drill. Yeah, we're going to do sword drill. Okay. By doing that, if this is your first time at a sword drill, it's a game where a person's whole goal is to try to be the first one to find a portion of scripture that is given. And the first person to find it reads it. In the past, we've kind of been iffy on the rules. Just go ahead and read it once you find it. But we're going to do this. So you hold up the Bible by the spine, and we say Exodus 28 through 11. Say it.
Exodus 28 through 11.
And what is it? Charge. I'm getting used to this new Bible.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And you should have done some practice. Yeah. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord, your God. Mm-hmm. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter or your male servant, your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy.
Mm-hmm. So So we have here a very specific command given from God and actually given from God to Moses to give to the people about specifically what they should and should not do on the Sabbath day. And he grounds it in an exterior event, which was God's own, the creation story that he had given to Moses prior to that. So we can start by answering the questions now in the fact of like, why would you say that we shouldn't follow this?
Well, I don't know that I would say we shouldn't follow this necessarily. I think it's more nuanced than that. I think where I stand, just to give it away from the beginning, is the Sabbath as a principle is still upheld and should still be upheld. But the Sabbath as an exact day and as an exact law is no longer in effect. And the reason for that is because this was given during the Old Covenant. Mm-hmm. And we see here in verse 1, and God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And then he proceeds to give these 10 commandments.
Yes.
Right? So he's speaking to the nation of Israel who he brought out of the land of Egypt. And this whole section of scripture, if you keep reading, like the whole next several passages are all laws. Mm-hmm. And then it goes up to the Ark of the Covenant, which involves like the Ten Commandments. They literally put the Ten Commandment stones into the Ark of the Covenant because it's the Ark of the Covenant. It's about the covenant that God made with Israel through Moses. Mm-hmm. We're living in a new covenant right now because Jesus came and he, like you said, fulfilled the law. Mm-hmm. So he didn't abolish it in the sense that, oh, this doesn't matter anymore, but he fulfilled it in the sense that there's something more to it now. It's not just this old law that we have. There's something greater there. We can get into that in a second.
Yeah. Yeah. So you and I are both in agreement. We should not celebrate Sabbath in the way that it's currently being presented here. There's something to Sabbath in Sabbath, in my mind, is more of a principle than it is a practice. And here he's giving the Jewish people a practice of what they should exactly do. And I believe it's undeniable that the principle of Sabbath goes all the way through Scripture.
Yeah,
like the principle of rest and God's command for us to rest. Like, we should still rest. It's just more of the question of to how. So No, we do not celebrate Sabbath. We do not practice Sabbath the way that the Jews did, but we should still today. And I think that's going to be the bulk of our conversation.
And you're saying should not. Is it should not, or we have the option?
You don't have to.
Because where I stand personally is like, none of this is wrong. Observing mm-hmm. it isn't wrong,
no.
But it's no longer a command.
Right.
That's where I stand.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. We are not, as Christians, as Gentile Christians, commanded to follow mm-hmm. Sabbath law. You can. However, it's kind of difficult because whenever we get into Paul's letters, people start adopting, just as a general rule, a lot of the Sabbath traditions and practices, and they fall into the trap where they rely on, I guess, if from a mindset perspective or whatnot, but they rely on that for their salvation. And I know that not all the time that we do, but like even in our Sunday services, if it's just a normal church service, it's not even, you know, it's not Shabbat. Like us Christians still fall under the like, oh, well, I went to church on Sunday, so I'm good.
Yeah.
Kind of situation. So I think you can fall into the same pitfalls that the people that Paul was talking to did by celebrating that. So there should still be that warning, I think.
Yeah, there's definitely like an opportunity for a lot of error there.
Yeah.
Because people look at this idea of the law and they're like, well, if I follow the law, then I'm good.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of Jews today, like some even who, you know, are messianic or at least claim to be messianic, they're like, well, I'm following the law still and I'm all good. And, you know, that happened even in Jesus' time where, like, the rich young ruler came up to him. I believe it was the rich young ruler, right? Mm. And he was like, well, I follow the law and I do a bunch of good things and I've never messed up.
The rich young ruler.
And Jesus was like, well, let's test if you're really here, right?
Yeah.
Sell everything you have and give it to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, maybe no. And then he walked away and he didn't listen to Jesus because he wasn't actually there for Jesus. He was there to, you know, I kind of like posture himself as a good person or whatever.
Yeah. The why you celebrate Sabbath is extremely important as well. Cause I could totally see a bunch of Christians being like, I want to start celebrating Sabbath. And that kind of makes them it makes them feel like more of an elite Christian.
Yeah.
Cause they're like, I'm observing some of the Jewish things. What are you doing in your service?
Yeah. I could definitely see myself falling into that type of thinking.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, I don't know where I'm going next.
So what is the difference between Sabbath practice and principle?
Well, I think you said it yourself. The principle of the Sabbath is rest,
mm-hmm.
right? I've heard it said that the word Sabbath itself means rest. When I looked into like the Blue Letter Bible, I didn't really see that.
Mm-hmm.
That might've just been because I was looking.
It means stop, doesn't it?
Maybe. I think Selah means stop.
Oh, okay.
It might also mean stop. But we all understand that the idea of Sabbath mm-hmm. is rest. Mm-hmm. God rested on the seventh day from all the work he was doing. And he wasn't doing that because he needed rest.
No.
Because he's God. He was doing that as an example for us that we need rest, that we can't do this on our own.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the principle of the Sabbath is, honestly, I think the principle of the law as a whole shows us that we are unable to fulfill all that God wants us to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? that we're falling short. We can't do it. Like, we can't just go nonstop. We're not God. Mm-hmm. We can't make ourselves righteous like the rich and young ruler thought he could. We're not God. And there's one who can, mm-hmm. and that's Jesus. And I think the Sabbath was instituted to show us that we needed rest and we need to rely on God, mm-hmm. who gave us that rest. And so he did it as a day, mm-hmm. right? But as we're about to see, Jesus came, he instituted the new covenant, and he is that rest now.
Yeah.
And he took on that
role. It says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 through 17, I'll just read it. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat, drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon, celebration, or Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. So this affirms what you were saying in the fact that we're not to get lost in the practice of these rituals, celebrations, festivals. We're not to get lost in those because the real thing, we have the real thing. Mm-hmm. Why be so obsessed with trying to like have the best Sabbath day ever and like put more energy into that than your actual relationship with the Christ that we can have fellowship with?
Yeah, exactly. And I just like the word that the ESV uses in that Colossians passage. It says he is the substance. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. Like, there is this idea, this shadow, this shell of a concept that the whole law has. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus comes and he fulfills it. He fully fills it and mm-hmm. he becomes the substance. So it's like, yeah, it's like a shell.
Yeah.
Right. And then he fills that shell. And that's what's awesome about Jesus. And there's a passage that actually talks about this in Matthew 11. Mm. And it says in verse 28, this is Jesus speaking, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Mm. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Mm-hmm. So this is Jesus himself saying, I am rest. I will give you rest.
Yes.
If you come to me, you will find rest.
It also says that in Hebrews chapter 4, "Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those formerly," he's talking about his rest, "and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience. Again, he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David," so long afterwards in these quotes, talking about if you hear his voice, then you will come to him. Oh, yeah, yeah. "So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his." So it's here alluding to Sabbath being our salvation in him, that our rest is our trust and hope that we are saved.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, that's, if you look at how Sabbath was used in the Old Testament, I mean, look at in Exodus, when the Israelites are asking for food, what does God do? He gives them manna. He has bread fall down from heaven. Mm-hmm. And then he says, only gather as much as you need for one day, mm-hmm. right? And then if you don't, if you gather too much, the next day it will all go bad and there'll be like worms in it. And so people would gather the manna and they would gather too much. Mm-hmm. And then the next day there'd be worms in the manna. It would just be horrible, rotten, spoiled.
Yeah.
And so in their heads, it's like, if I don't gather the perfect amount today, I'm not going to have food.
Yeah.
Right. And if I gather too much, I'm not going to have food. Mm-hmm. So I have to gather the perfect amount every day. Mm-hmm. And then God says, but on Fridays, I want you to stop. I want you to gather double.
Yeah.
And on Saturdays, I don't want you to gather anything. So they're still thinking, wait, if I gather too much, though, it's going to go bad. So on Saturday, all my food's going to be bad. But no, obviously, because God said no. Mm-hmm. God said, I want you to do this. So it was really a test, right?
Yeah.
It was a test of the Israelites, you know, their ability to trust in God, their ability to believe him and obey him, because he said it's going to work out. And all they're conditioned, even by him, they're conditioned to think it's not going to work out. So they really have to trust him. Otherwise, they're thinking we're not going to have food. Mm-hmm. So just like you said, the trust that comes from believing you're truly saved. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to really believe that God has you.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's paralleled. I don't know if that's the exact reason. I mean, that's kind of just my I'd like to say it's exegesis. I think that's just what I got out of this, was that God is telling us we have to rely on him if we want this rest. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, come to me and walk with me and learn with me and you will find rest.
I mean, he elaborates on the same thing that you, the same illustration that you brought up in John chapter 6. He's talking to the Jewish leaders who are coming to him asking about why he said that he was the bread. This is after the feeding of the 5,000, I'm pretty sure. And he explains that just as the manna came from heaven and they had to trust and to rely on that bread every single day, so the Son of Man has come, was in heaven and came down, so that we can partake of that bread in him. And we're going to have to trust that that's enough.
I didn't actually know that that was an actual passage.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus explains that whole portion of scripture. Maybe we can do a whole episode on manna. Maybe. I don't know why I've been studying manna so much lately.
Should Christians eat manna?
Should Christians eat manna?
Yeah, no, that's exactly, like, Jesus is the fulfillment. I mean, I think everything, I feel like half of the episodes we're going to do, maybe more, is going to come back to the fact that Jesus is the fulfillment.
Mm-hmm. As they should.
As they should, because he's the whole point. Like, that's, yes. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for that. But yeah, like, what do you think about all this? I don't have questions written down to ask you.
That's okay. I think one of the questions that, one of the things that I want to flush out with you is, what is the difference actually then between Sabbath as we see it practiced in scriptures and the Lord's Day, which is more of what most of us Christians would say that we practice now?
To my understanding, the Lord's Day is not a command. And for context, the Lord's Day means Sunday, which I believe is why it's called Sunday, as in Jesus the Son. I might be wrong on that. But the Lord's Day is because Jesus Christ resurrected on a Sunday. And so whenever we think of the day that Christ changed the world and, you know, officially paid off all of our sins and started the new covenant, we think of Sunday, the day he did that.
Yeah. And so, I think a lot of that came also just from the disciples. They were used to having that day of rest. And since Jesus, like, I mean, Jesus still practiced Shabbat while he was still on the earth. Sabbath, Shabbat, this is interchangeable words, but they were just like, well, hey, celebrating is still part of who we are.
Yeah.
Resting is still part of who we are. So why don't we just still do this on the day that he was resurrected? And we're like, yay, this is the thing now. So now we are trying to do like kind of a miniature Sabbath inside of our Sundays. I think growing up, I thought that they were interchangeable. I think in Sunday school, I think I definitely heard some of my Sunday school teachers be like, well, it says in Exodus to keep the Sabbath day holy. Therefore, that means that you should come to church every single Sunday. And like, I'm sorry to all of them, but like, that's not what the Bible is saying. Like, it's saying we have the freedom to be able to celebrate, and we should celebrate, and we should rest. However, it's not a commandment like in the Bible. It's good, and we need to do it, but.
Yeah, I think, I mean, yeah, it's hard. It's controversial because it's so, like, it is a commandment so many times.
Yes.
Right? But we're understanding that the rest itself is actually found in Christ. But the gathering on Sunday isn't necessarily the rest, but it absolutely, like you said, could be used as a rest.
Yeah. Because actually the command is to gather as often as you can with other believers.
Yeah. And that's something that we're going to talk about in the next episode when we're talking about, should we as Christians gather in church? Is that actually necessary? Is it actually important? But yeah, I think Sunday is... So in Acts 2, the church gathered day by day. So we know that they didn't just gather on Sunday. They gathered pretty much every day. They were always gathering at someone's house or at the temple. They would still attend synagogue, actually. And the way Paul attended synagogue was a little different because it seemed like he was there to make a case for Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It seemed like he went to synagogue specifically to talk to Jews, to be like, hey, you want to hear about the Old Testament? Because they were all reading. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the New Testament didn't exist at the time. They were all reading Tanakh, which is the Jewish Old Testament, which is also our Old Testament.
Yeah.
Every Saturday, they read it, and they would get taught. And Paul is this famous rabbi, and so people would be like, oh, let him speak. And when he spoke on Sabbath at synagogue, he was like, well, guess what? This is all about Jesus, who, by the way, you killed.
Yeah. He'd be like, you want to hear about Moses? I'll tell you about Moses.
Yeah, exactly. And they met often, but they also says in Acts 20 that the church gathered to break bread on the first day of the week, so Sunday. Was this the official gathering all the time? Maybe, maybe not. And another question is this: in lieu of gathering on Saturday, does that mean they can't gather on Saturday? And when it says break bread, does it mean the Lord's Supper break bread? Or does it mean just, you know, meet as friends? Because I think the term could also be used to just be like, oh yeah, we had a meal together. Yeah. Like if you and I were to eat dinner today, would that be the Lord's Supper? Or would we just be breaking bread?
Because there's evidence in Acts that they did both, that they both attended Sabbath. Not even just Paul, but like there's many accounts of many of the disciples going to the temple and preaching the gospel in the temple and them getting kicked out of the temple. Why were they doing that? Because they were there on Shabbat. They were Jews. Mm-hmm. Like they wanted to celebrate these things because they were so much a part of who they were. I don't think many of them gave it up, and maybe they did, but I don't think that's also the point.
Yeah.
The point is that rest and stopping and trusting in the Lord with and using a practice to force ourselves to do that is something that all of us who believe in God should do as a command or as a principle.
Yeah, and I think resting, I mean, everyone understands that resting is important, right? If you work 7 days straight, you start complaining.
Yes.
Right? You need a day off. Everyone needs a day off. And I mean, that's just built into who we are, obviously, because the person who built us is God.
Yes.
Right? So obviously there's a solution here, which is the idea of a rest day. I have a question for you then. If we're not celebrating Sabbath formally, if we're not going to synagogue formally on Saturdays, how are you resting?
For me personally, and I think after I talk about how personally, I think we can talk about just overall as a whole, like maybe some like application as to how. But how I personally practice Sabbath is during the week. I try to take a lot of quiet time with the Lord throughout the week. So I'm constantly resting on the Lord, taking once again from that manna kind of perspective of like, I'm not relying on my Sunday service to fuel me up for the rest of the week so that I'm good to go. My reality is that I'm an associate pastor at my church and my congregation, and it's a lot. I put in a lot of work on Sundays, and a lot of people may like cringe at that and be like, well, like, you know, you're doing it under the Lord. It's like, yeah, but the rest of the week I'm doing things under the Lord as well. So, but I have to make sure that I get my time, with my family, with my God at separate occasions that are not whenever I'm serving in service. And I do sometimes get some rest and fulfillment from Sunday services, but whenever I don't, then I focus my attention onto my personal time with the Lord and my time with my family. I know Katie's, my wife's family is very good about bringing scripture to the table. So we talk about the things of the Lord all of the time at the, and not in an argumentative way, but like a genuine, like encouraging, building up way. And that feels like rest to me. A lot of the times it rests my soul.
Yeah. I know the feeling.
Yeah. I think that's one of the hard parts that like, I praise God that you and I both have like really, we come from really good Christian homes, and we have good solid families, but not all of us have that reality either.
Yeah.
And which makes this practice all the more difficult sometimes, because you're living in an environment where that's not promoted. And you're like rest, a good biblical rest is not, you know, practiced all the time in your household.
Yeah.
So my heart goes out to those people.
Yeah. Well, you were talking about practical advice, like for people who have that situation where they just can't find the people to talk to. Maybe there's not even like a localist gathering near mm-hmm. them that they know of, and they can't, you know, be with other Christians. I mean, that's a really hard, I couldn't imagine what it would be like to not have that around me, because I've had that around me my whole life. And I was dumb enough to leave that, right? Like I was so, what's the word? Privileged. I was so privileged in that I had like this amazing support from my family. Like I had my parents teaching me since I was born, and I had a church and a community, and I was like, well, I don't need all that. And there's people who don't get that.
Mm-mm.
And they're yearning for it. But at the end of the day, those people are awesome and they supplant us and they help us.
Yeah.
But they're not where the rest is.
Right.
The rest was Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. right? And so at the end of the day, if you want to rest, if you need rest, even if you can't get a day off, mm-hmm. even if the only way you can survive and the only way your family can survive is if you work 70 hours a week and you don't have a day off, you work every single day and there's like three jobs you're pulling, I don't know, something ridiculous. Just imagine like a ridiculous overworking situation. Obviously, please try and find like a better solution. But if you can't, if you're still stuck in it right now and you need something now, I would say prioritize Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Every day. And honestly, this doesn't just go for people who have crazy lives. That goes for if you have the most privileged, laid back life, prioritize Jesus Christ every day. I was telling a brother yesterday who's having some trouble with scheduling for school because it's hard to focus on school. And he also has other passions that he wants to focus on that he feels the Lord wants him to do. But all of it is kind of like distracting him because he just gets so overwhelmed with it all mm-hmm. that he can't focus on any of it,
mm-hmm.
which I relate to. And the thing that we came to, the conclusion we came to is you don't touch anything.
Mm.
Until you speak to the Lord.
That's good.
You don't go to work. You don't go to school. You don't, you know, work on whatever awesome project you want to work on. You don't spend time with your family until you spend time with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so the answer isn't not to spend time with on all those things. You have to do those things. Mm-hmm. That's how you survive as a human. You have to go to work. You have to go to school. You have to spend time with your family. That means that you have to wake up earlier, if that's the problem,
mm-hmm.
and spend time with the Lord.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be long,
mm-mm.
right?
Like, no, some of it comes down to discipline. Just one of the reasons why it's a practice, why Sabbath for them and the Lord's Day for us is a practice, is because mm-hmm. a lot of the times, if we didn't have that disciplined part of our life to do it, I don't think any of us would rest.
Yeah.
The flesh doesn't want to rest most of the time. It just wants to keep going and doing as much as you can. And it also wants to try to make provisions. Like, one of the things I've had to repeat to myself a lot of the times is I'm not a better provider than God is. So like whenever you're talking about that, like if you're working 70 hours a week, like, so have a conversation with the Lord. Like if you're like, God, I need all 7 days in order to be able to like make ends meet. I think one of the things that Christ is calling us to is to trust him for that day. Like, I know things may be tight, but God makes a way when there doesn't seem to be a way.
Yeah.
And if you're like, I just don't see how this
which makes goes sense back to like the whole manna idea.
Yes. Yeah. That he will provide for you. And I'm not telling you to quit your job right now mm-hmm. and become a monk and spend every single day with the Lord. That's not what I'm saying. But like,
I mean, do spend every day with the Lord, just not every waking second.
Yes.
Specifically reading and meditating.
Yes. Yeah. But I think we just need more of that discipline. Yeah. I need more of that discipline. I whenever I told you about the way that I practice Sabbath, like, and I try to squeeze it, I try to spend time with the Lord all like every day of the week, at least a little bit. I'm not consistent with that all the time, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel it whenever I'm not. whenever I'm not, whenever I haven't had my time with the Lord, my wife experiences, like she can tell the difference. My relationship with, like at work, like I'm unfocused. I don't have the energy. Like if Christ is in us and we are not giving and we are trusting, if we told him at the beginning that we trust him for all of our needs and we're making him the Lord of our life, but then we're not actually doing that, we're missing a giant piece of our whole life.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be like, it can be daunting to be like, oh, I have to spend how long with God now? Mm-hmm. Which understandably, it's like, okay, so you're telling me I have to close my eyes and pray to someone who doesn't always speak back the way I want him to. And I have to read this, you know, 66 books. I have to get through all this and I have to understand it. And I have to, it seems like a lot. But, you know, if you want like even more practical, like when you wake up, pray. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be a long prayer. Just pray. Mm-hmm. Because the first thing you should be doing is thinking of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Because if you're starting the day with just praying, I mean, I've found so many times that has helped me go throughout the day. Because when I wake up, there's all these things I want to do. Like this morning, I woke up and the first thing I did, this is hypocritical of me, I know, but the first thing I did was I opened up my iPad and I started watching a TV show. Mm-hmm. And then an hour later when that show was over, I was like, oh, it's early. I'll just watch another episode because I was off today. Yeah. It took me until like 11 to actually sit down and spend time with the Lord. And it took me until I stood up from bed 2 hours after I woke up to actually pray for the first time. Mm. And all that prayer was, oh, right. Good morning, Lord. That was pretty much it. And then I went downstairs. And that was like, man, just talking about it, it's not that I feel guilty, but I feel like there's so much more that I could be getting out of speaking to the Lord because he's offering so much. So I really think that like speaking to the Lord first thing should be a non-negotiable. Like you can't miss this. You have to do it. Mm. And if you're worried because there's people around you that are going to yell at you for speaking to the Lord, do it in your head. You know, he can hear you. Yeah. You don't have to say anything out loud. You don't have to spend an hour. You can if you want to. It's great if you do. But if all you have is a couple minutes and you don't even have access to a Bible, say, I'm going to extremes here. The fact that you're listening to this podcast suggests that you probably have access to a Bible.
Yeah, absolutely.
But in case you don't, so that means anyone who does, all right, you already have a leg up. If you don't and you need one verse that you have in your head, just repeat that verse. Mm-hmm. Think about that verse, meditate on the verse and ask the Lord to give you more and he will.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's, I mean, the scripture was inspired one time. He can do it as many times as he wants.
I'll give you a verse right now. I'm going to go to a random verse. This is your verse. Just repeat this.
This may be a terrible verse. Is it the Song of Solomon?
Isaiah 34, 1. Draw near, O nations, to hear and give attention, O peoples. Let the earth hear and all that fills it, and the world and all that comes from it. For the Lord is enraged against all the nations. Oh, maybe this isn't the best verse. And furious against all the hosts. He has devoted them to destruction and has given them over for slaughter.
Meditate on that.
Yeah.
Meditate on
that. Oh, I have a better one.
They're all good.
35:4. And they're all good. This is a good one. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Mm-hmm. I should have started with that.
But they're both good. And they both reflect the character of God, which is one of the things that we should be doing on Sabbath.
Absolutely.
Or on, you know, whenever we're taking a Sabbath rest.
Yeah, we should be reflecting on who he is.
Yes. So if somebody were to come up to you and be like, hey, tomorrow I want to practice Sabbath. I want to practice the principle of Sabbath. What would be like three things that you would tell them to do practically?
Like for rest?
Yes.
Like the principle.
Yes.
I would say, like I just said, non-negotiable, spend time with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Right? And if you're taking a day to practice the principle of Sabbath, then don't spend 5 minutes, spend an hour, spend more than that. I would say make sure you have a day off. If you have that luxury, try and get some time off to focus on the things that you need to focus on. Just from a human perspective, like we need to readdress our situation. We need to make sure that we have everything set up for the next week or whatever. What's a good third one? I don't know.
I would say, well, one of the ones I have in my head is throw off your routine. Like, we talked about at the beginning how we don't necessarily, like, we're just poor at studying and we just don't know what the word Sabbath means. But I believe, like, from what I've heard, this, the word Sabbath means to stop. Yeah. So that means whatever your routine is that week, stop it. Like, put a pause in it. Make sure that it's different. Like, the things that you are doing during your time with the Lord, let it be different from every other time. Because if it's different from every other time, it's special. It shows the Lord that you value him, which is an act of worship. It also, for you, it shifts your pace. And so that the whole week, like, oftentimes, like, a monogamous, like, work day is just so repetitive. And oftentimes that's what beats you down. Like Chinese water torture, you know, feels like that sometimes. So you're cutting off that supply, you're cutting off that flow. And you're just like, I'm doing things differently today to make sure that things are set apart and things are different. Most days, whenever I'm waking up to go to work, I'm waking up at like 5 o'clock, 5:15 actually. But like on Sundays, we sleep in a little bit. Like, we take our time waking up. Like, whenever we do get up, we start playing worship music. I don't usually get that opportunity whenever I'm getting ready for work at 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, we try to do something different.
Isn't it nice that you have a 10:30 service?
It is such a nice thing.
I have a 9 a.m. service. 9 a.m. till 12. We go
9 till 12?
Usually past the time yours goes.
That's not quite Pentecostal hours, but it, like, not, it's pretty, it's close. Not,
it is much more sanctified.
Absolutely.
This is a joke.
I would say another thing. I actually don't have another thing. I think those are three.
Honestly, find what works for you. But the number one thing, the non-negotiable, spend time with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Get at the feet of Jesus Christ. Take his yoke upon you. Mm-hmm. Yoke implies doing something. It doesn't imply doing nothing. The yoke is learning from God. It's walking with him. And this is not something that you do once in a day. That's something you do, you know, all the time. You're always supposed to be looking at Jesus and learning from him, and that gives you rest. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about getting beat down at work. Well, first of all, getting beat down at work makes it a lot harder to worship him and talk to him afterwards.
It does. Mm-hmm.
Not that it's impossible, not that you shouldn't. You absolutely should. But it's so much easier, like I said, to wake up, look at God, and then go into work. But also, when you're at work, like, when you're getting beat down at work, and you turn to God, what does that look like?
Mm-hmm. It looks like praise. Well, like, it looks like Paul and Silas in the prison. You know what I mean? Like, they're in a really dark situation, and they're not resting. Right. They're up in the middle of the night. And they're praising the Lord while in the middle of their situation.
Yeah, but I have to imagine that was really restful for their souls.
Yes, it was. Yeah, the rest of the prisoners in there were like, what are you doing?
And it's just like, if you look at Jesus, if you look at who he is and what he's already done in your life and what he's going to do, it's like, okay, you and me, we work in food service mm-hmm. currently. Who cares about the chicken sandwiches? Mm-hmm. Who cares about the 170, what was it you called it?
Chicken minis.
Chicken minis. Yeah. Who cares about the 170 chicken minis you have to do by 7 a.m.? Mm-hmm. It's not important. I know Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe. I literally talk to him every day.
Yeah.
And I'm worried about, you know, what my coworkers are going to say to me, what my boss is going to do to annoy me, mm-hmm. or, you know, the amount of orders or the how fast the rush is or... You know, whatever other type of job you have.
You're like, most anxiety comes from, and like chaos and confusion and exhaustion oftentimes comes from being so hyper-focused on your situation and what you're doing right then and then. Like, in understanding and thinking about and meditating on the reality that Jesus has a full picture of your life, of his plan for you, of his purpose for you, and he is holding you through it the entire time. Like, if you're able to step back from what you're going through for a second mm-hmm. and just think about it in the way that Jesus would, which is, my Father has this. I trust him to be able to carry out his will in my life, and he's going to protect me the whole way through.
Yeah.
If we can trust in that, I think we can start to learn to rest more.
Just to tie back to the idea of relying on God, a lot of rest comes just from knowing that, hey, in that day where you can't do the thing that you're taking to not do the thing that you think is going to take care of you, mm-hmm. and you're taking this time to stop and just look at him, don't be anxious. In Matthew 6, from verse 25 on, it says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Mm-hmm. And are you not of more value than they?
That's right.
And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? Mm-hmm. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Mm-hmm. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not so much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Mm-hmm. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what will we eat, or what shall we drink, or what will we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Mm-hmm. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
So the next time that you're feeling exhausted and down and you feel like what all you need is just time with the Lord, seek first his kingdom and trust that his righteousness will carry you through.
Yeah. Come to him, all you who are burdened and heavy laden. Take his yoke upon you. Learn from him, for he is gentle and lowly of heart, and he will give you rest.
So should Christians observe Sabbath?
Technically, kind of, but
you
should also not
but
really.
Absolutely
maybe?
Not. But
I don't know. We're going
to
end the episode now. We'll see you next week about whether Christians should attend church.
Thank you guys for watching. If you want the full episode, you can subscribe to our Patreon, where you get access to a community of people where we go through these portions of scriptures and study them together.
You also get access to the video episodes. Full video episodes a good deal before YouTube gets them. So if you're wondering why we're talking about things that happened a long time ago, it's because it happened a long time ago.
Thank you guys for watching. We'll see you next time.